It is very different in the place where I'm suddenly communicating with my son who's going to the side of the world. I go back to this movement, because I think the traceability is absorbing, and I think it's going to generate enormous transaction costs on the producers. And I also think the marketplace is going to get incredibly crowded, and there's going to be a requirement that if you are a small producer, you won't actually make it in a public marketplace unless you have that communicated capacity. But I think it'd be interesting to explore what you were saying about the movement. The value of the network is engaging people across the globe to talk to each other and about the issues that actually aren't about fair trade.
Well, they
aren't about a particular product, that are actually the wider issues around the fair trade.
Fair trade is a product. Fair trade is a relationship mechanism.
Yeah.
We were very aware of the issue of cost to producers, and clearly if we designed some systems that took enormous investment by individuals and collectives of producers, it would never have got anywhere. So that was one reason we focused on trying to make use of information sources that were already there. So in Chile, on the Chilean side, as you saw, that cooperative already had quite a detailed set of information we wanted to be able to draw on. We also, one of our undergraduates, again, experimented on the coffee side with an interface for an Android phone that the producers themselves could, hopefully with minimum effort, collect some data about the coffee as they were producing it. But yes, I mean, you're absolutely right about it adds communication and marketing costs, yes, and if you're then sort of competing for consumers' attention, that might be significant. Although we did find, on the Indian side, it was interesting, the Indian Coffee Board, who we work with, produces a lot of marketing materials already, and they seem to think everything must be very glossy and overproduced, whereas actually what we found was that consumers were much more interested in what they saw as authentic information, which was less overproduced.
So presumably that has to be borne by fair trade transactions, paid for by us.
Yeah.
Very briefly, there was something on how specific does it have to be, and I think our general, we didn't do representative surveys or anything like that, but our experience in the action research project has been that consumers they took the specific to be a guarantor of trustworthiness. And it's something that actually makes it very hard to sort of present aggregate data, which of course would be less expensive. I think that we need to keep in mind that we're operating in an environment where there's two trends going on. One is there's an explosion of social media and sort of an explosion of individualized content. At the same time, in the retail environment, there's this electronic capturing data movement going on, and towards basically using RFID technology to electronically kind of trace the data in the value chain, what you mentioned, Deborah. And I think these two things, the storytelling element, sort of one-to-one, and the electronic kind of systems that are being implemented, whether we like them or not, combining these things is actually rather powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that also kind of links in into kind of how we can create models of trust that are based on factual and the sort of reality social constructivist ideas of what basically people have kind of constructed from their own realities and stories they tell. And that's actually really exciting to see how we marry these together. My suggestion